We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. That means I'm going to behave, and that means this is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host, and our next guest, Peter Prodramou, obviously with a Greek accent, CEO, IEC Partners. Wow, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tell me about IEC.
So IEC is a really cool venture that I just joined up with. I'm actually not CEO. I'm a partner there. And IEC is actually focused on bringing early stage companies from Latin America into the United States. And basically, a lot of people talk about us as if we're a growth accelerator or an incubator. But what we really are is a confederation of former entrepreneurs and CEOs and executives from a range of companies. And you can really wander the halls and find really diverse experience on how to start your company and how to evolve your company and sort of figure out every need to get it successful in the U.S.
So does everybody do their own billings, or is it built through the company?
It's actually built through the company.
Right.
And so there's a shared service model, which works really well. And you're able to basically pluck the best executives from a bullpen of really great experience.
Is there a management model in terms of managing, quality control expectations? Because I know, having run a consulting firm for 34 years, you could bring in a few hundred consultants and they could have a few thousand ideas about how to do an intervention.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know what you mean. I mean, having been in consulting for most of my career. Yeah, there is. There's a model that focuses on methodology and approach to sort of creating the most appropriate solutions for our clients, so you don't have people just spinning off and sort of doing their own thing.
Right. Because that can be dangerous.
It can be really dangerous. Nothing looks the same. Nothing feels the same. The ideas aren't shared, and the risk is sort of a mess.
And are all of your clients from South America?
No, we actually work with American companies as well. American companies are looking how to get into Latin America and other foreign markets.
So there's a lot of it's got a Latin American theme to it.
It does, because a couple of the founders are Latin American, they're Brazilian, and Brazil is such a huge market that it made sense to sort of attack there first. I have huge experience working with Chinese companies seeking access to the United States, so increasingly what I'm trying to focus the business on is how we bring Asian companies into the U.S. successfully. Right. I think there's a point of commonality.
It's a bigger market.
It is a bigger market. I mean, the growth opportunity is huge. There tends to be some common thought.
Bigger
processes.
Funding, too.
A lot of funding.
Right.
A lot of funding.
There's more money that way.
Yeah. There certainly is.
Because Brazilian startups would say to me, it would be hard to get fees.
Yeah.
but Chinese businesses are not really as much startups that when they're coming over here, they're more established.
Well, that's right. I mean, some of them can have billions of dollars in sales.
Right.
I think what the opportunity is there is they don't really understand the American market and sort of the size of it, the scope of it. And I think that's true of Brazilian companies as well. I think there's this notion you can sort of dip your toe in here and sort of see if you can make a sale and find out whether or not you're going to be successful. And the reality is this is still a huge dynamic economy, and approaching it that way is not going to be successful.
So how do you split up your time? There's, there's the new business generation. There's the leadership management model.
Right.
There's the consulting. Do you split your time in all three buckets?
I do, although I find myself spending a lot of time with the clients, because ultimately you've got to provide great service and great I think really good advice and sort of be an extension of their team, which sounds like a cliche, but the demand is more true.
No, not to me, it doesn't.
Yeah, right, because you've been in there.
I gave up my office 10 years ago. People asked me, if they thought I was retiring. They said, why are you giving up your office? I said, because if I'm in my office, I'm not working.
Right, yeah. And, I want to spend as much time as I can with clients. You've got to understand their business, right? And if you don't understand their business, you can't help them.
It's the key. Every business, every person is unique. People say, do you know this industry? I go, yes, but I don't know you.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
And I mean, we're helping people from, aspects like figuring out pricing models to really, how do I commercialize my product, to how do I figure out regulatory issues in the U.S. So I think if you're dealing with those kind of complex issues and that kind of diversity, you've got to be with them all the time.
Right. Interesting. So give me a sense of how you provide the best value to companies, a kind of intervention that you think would be really up your sweet spot for those listening.
Yeah.
Someone who might have that longing for that sweet spot.
Yeah, we come at it from how do we sell things? How do they sell things? How are we going to create impact in their ability to generate revenue? And I think if you start there, you can sort of backward chain to everything that needs to be fixed or everything that needs to be done in order to make that true. We've worked with companies that have fantastic ideas and they don't even know how to commercialize them yet. So we're diving into the technology and understanding, you know, not only how it can be used for the purpose they built it for, but three or four other ways that they could sort of use it within the context of this market. Is it a technology that you're looking for that you want to sell as pure technology, but in fact it might be better as a SaaS model?
Right.
So
you do have to have expertise to figure that out.
Absolutely.
Right?
So we have experts who can look at things like that,
right.
Engineers and technologists. Are you forth to market and you don't have proper funding?
Right. That's tough.
Yeah. So how do you figure out how to get in the market?
Right.
Or you have a fantastic idea and you've got.
I'd rather be forth with funding than the first.
Well, true enough.
Learn from everybody else's mistakes.
I agree with you. And you've got the first two.
But I'd rather have the funding.
Yeah, you got to have the funding. But if somebody else is giving you awareness and consideration, you're in a good spot, right? You can come in as third to market. And if your product's just on par and you have some great marketing and sales behind you, you might be able to overtake the two leaders.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of marketing.
That's
a lot of my background. So let's go into what I always call the Wayback Machine. I don't know how old you are, but the Wayback Machine comes from, you know, Rocky J. Rocky Bullwinkle.
Yeah.
And we'll go to the Wayback Machine and one of some of my favorite cartoons as a kid. What's your background? How did you evolve into this position?
So I sort of grew up in an entrepreneurial environment. My father was an immigrant. He owned a restaurant. We all worked in that restaurant from the time we were like 6 or 8 years old.
Except for that, certain people in this country, almost everybody can call themselves an immigrant at some point.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
you worked in a restaurant?
I worked in a restaurant. I then worked in a real estate group that we started as a family.
A family restaurant?
It was a family restaurant.
Was it a Greek restaurant?
It was a Greek restaurant.
Favorite.
Yeah. I'll cook for you sometime.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
Nothing like Greek food.
You know, this is the thing. This is a great sort of thing that entrepreneurs need to understand. Later on, I wanted to have a larger restaurant group. And I'd been doing other things in between. And I started a couple of restaurants and realized how much I hated it. And that's how you figure out how to go back to what you're good at.
So when they went in the restaurant business, they bought the real estate that they had the restaurant in?
Absolutely.
How they got into it and evolved from there?
And that's how we got into it.
That's an American story.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, you look at it now and you say 40, 50, 60 years ago, you could do those things. It's so much harder, I think, in terms of laddering up just off of one business. You know, my family started a single business. Then we got into a real estate holding company. And what we were told was go to school and get out of businesses where you have to work on your feet.
Right.
And so I have siblings.
No one ever told me that.
No?
Well, not the feet part.
We're both sitting.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah, but I've been known to pace a lot when I'm talking.
I hear you.
That's interesting. No one ever told me not to work on my feet.
Yeah.
So that's because of the restaurant model.
Well, that was seen as hard work, right? If you could get a job sitting down, it was easier. It
meant your brain was working.
And I told my parents later in life, it's no easier sitting down. It's just a different set of challenges.
You're just fatter.
Yeah, exactly right. I know. Now you got to go to the gym to work it off as opposed to just,
So they got into the real estate business, and that's how you sort of evolved out of it. You had that entrepreneurial background.
Yeah, and in fact, I just, you know, my parents passed away a couple of years ago, and I just wrapped up that family real estate business a year ago. So I've had the chance to do a lot of interesting things over time.
And so how did you make the transition into the consulting world?
Well, so my education, I wanted to make movies.
Right.
I would
too, but I had a face for radio.
Well, that was the thing I heard too. You're not going to make any money, so get out of it.
Right. You could make horror pictures.
Yeah. Well, I do every day in some form or another, right?
Right.
So I started looking at communications and marketing services as a career. And I ended up a partner in an advertising agency about 20 years ago, which I had a ball with.
In what city?
Here in Boston.
Oh, well, interesting.
Yeah. And I had a ball with that. The firm's gone now. But, you know.
It wasn't that much fun. The firm's gone now.
Nah, but I learned what I loved, right?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then I hooked on in technology consulting in the late 1990s. Who didn't have fun, right? I mean, it was easy money.
So you're a Renaissance man, if I can call you, in those old terms.
I'll take the compliment.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, and then I went to work with some folks building another technology, another consulting firm over the last 20 years. And about a year ago, I moved over into this field.
So, Peter, if someone wants to find you at IEC Partners, how would they do that?
My mobile. I've run global operations off of a mobile phone my entire life. I'm sort of a savant, big thumbs, like to type. So 617-304-6683, and I always answer.
We can text each other. I'm a big texter.
All right, good.
Great. I want to thank you for being on the show again. You have to come back in and bring us a case.
I would love to do
that.
And
we'd love to interview some of your Latin American companies that you're promoting.
Oh, that'd be
so
awesome.
That we could help them like build their business.
That would be terrific.
I mean, that's what we love that stuff.
Okay,
it would
cool.
be our Latin American connection.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Well, my name is Jeffrey Davis, and you know, every time I go to a party, my wife always tells me to apologize on the way home in the car, so I want to apologize for anything I said inappropriate along the way, because I've been well-trained by my wife, and remind them that this is Radio Entrepreneurs, and we'll be right back with more stories of entrepreneurship after these messages.
Thanks.